Hey gang, welcome. It is We Watch Stuff 140. I'm Jeremy. Joining me, as always, is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Been enjoying my weird work break because I had a 5-day weekend last week. I have a 4-day weekend this week, and I'm only actually going to work like one day in the actual pharmacy this week. I had training in the past 2 days.
Damn.
Yeah.
And then what do you get for Memorial Day? Anything?
It's a day off if I want, or extra money if I work it. So it's considered a national. It's considered a holiday.
Oh, okay, nice. So now, yeah, I remember my old repair days. They do that stuff for us, and I'd be like, "Yeah, I'm working," because that was little work and major money. So
yeah, that's the same with us. Like the holidays, we clean up, and it's really not that much work to do. And it was funny that happened in training because it's basically a thing of like. It was a 2-day thing about teamwork, and it was kind of like the hospital's been doing it since January, and it's kind of like, you know, don't look inward, look outward, try to look at the other person's view, yada yada yada. It's like, it's fine. So I'm going through that, like the first day's cool, the second day we're going halfway through it, and then I get sit in with people. Like we were split in groups with strangers. And then the second day they actually had to sit in groups from people in our department. So I was with people in pharmacy, but they didn't work in my section. They work in another section. So we're talking about stuff that's going on. And then I bring up the fact that, you know, I wouldn't tell anybody, like, technician-wise to work on our side because their work's a lot harder. They do more, and they make the same amount of money. And this pharmacist, she just lost her cool saying, how can you say that? Why are you, like, what do you mean? The outpatient techs work just as hard. There's no glory or anything like that. And I'm thinking, like, I didn't say that. Why are you getting mad? And at first I tried to, like, you know, calm her down. Then I'm like, you know what? This whole 2-day thing was basically about not doing what she's doing right now. But I'm sitting there and I'm looking at her, and it's just like something just clicked in my brain. Like, I don't have to talk to her about this. And it's like, what would I try to accomplish by talking to her? Because kind of like, you can't. It's hard to tell people they're wrong, especially when they're like smart and accomplished. They don't like hearing they're wrong, and especially when you know they're wrong. But they don't feel that they're wrong because they have just enough information to feel like they don't have to change their mind. And I'm saying it's like it's nothing I can say that's going to make her change her mind. Her ego is already bruised, even though it has nothing to do with her. So she's already going to be defensive. I wouldn't get anything personally out of changing her mind. So. Why even go that path? So it's like I can either insult her or just let her be. And at first, my first instinct was actually like say something real smart, like you don't know what you're talking about, and why are you taking this person that has nothing to do with you? But it's like, what's the point? And like that might make me smile, but it wouldn't be worth it. Like you know, I would just end up getting a headache hearing her complain about it, getting mad. So it was like I left it be, and I just thought about all the situations we deal with in life where. We don't have to. It's like it's few things we have to do. Most of the stuff we don't really have to do anything. We just kind of like do it because we want to. And it's like a lot of stuff we do on the show, and like we brag about message boards and the Twitter. And it's like, do we really gotta get in these discussions? Or are we just doing this for our own ego or just showing off? And it started with me after Mania because I remember we was talking about how I felt like less stuff I want to talk about. I was like, why? It's not the fact that I don't care less about it. It's like, if it doesn't accomplish anything that benefits me, then what's the point?
Yeah, and I think that honestly is just a part of getting older. It's my, like, I'm always very direct when it comes to, like, explaining things. And if someone doesn't listen, I'm like, okay, I'm going to tell you again. And I run into it a lot. And it's just, it's a matter of time convenience, too. Like, I got other stuff to waste my time on. You know, my limited time left, you know, which I understand, well, hopefully, is a long time from now. I ain't got time for this stuff. So, like, in that situation, I do enjoy the fact that the message of your seminar or training was totally, totally lost. I was hoping you smarted off to her, though, just to hear you go, yeah, so I have to go back to this training again.
I just gave her this look, and I just gave her, like, this little, like, Dr. Doom smile. Like, it was just something about it. Because the problem with the training I was thinking about is kind of like, this training goes against everything in healthcare and everything in military healthcare. It's kind of like it would work in theory, but it's the same thing. Like, you know, I always compare it to traffic laws. Traffic laws only work if people follow them. If one person follows a stop sign, the other person doesn't, you end up having an accident. And you can't tell people that they're special and that they're what they do is more important than what anyone else does, and then wrap it around the whole thing of saying, like, we're doing it to save lives, so they have that as an excuse. Like, I can be a dickhead because I'm saving a life, and then expect them to just turn that off. Like, that's not how things work, no matter how you want to say that. And even the people who want to be a team, like a team player, it's like, if you're a team player and the other person's not, and the other person benefits from it, why would I tell them, like, you know, what you're doing is the right thing if they don't believe it? That's like I told people during the thing, like, you're asking us basically to be better human beings, to be less human. That's, I don't know how that's expected to work. Like, MLK was able to do that, but that's why he has streets named after him. Most people don't have streets named after him. So it's kind of like you're asking a whole lot from people, and you're expecting them to kind of like go with it. And I'm like, you know, good luck with that.
So that's a little view into the adult world, everybody. I have luckily never had to go to one of those things, because I don't know how that would go over. I can
imagine how it would probably go over. You're a bunch of like, why are they wasting my time? At least like us, yeah. we got paid for it, so that was fine. It was just more kind of like, I learned some things, but I learned more stuff about how I view. It's funny how people view themselves. I learned a lot about that, because, you know, it's people that feel like they're better than other people. But they won't admit it in public. And it was that's one thing I noticed. Like, the people who actually admit it in public, yeah, you can tell they have those real strong personalities. Like, you know, I'm hot shit. But most people who act like that, they'll do it when it's kind of like in a small group. They won't do it when it's kind of like called out. Like, you know, if you have to put yourself in a group, better than, worse than, want attention, want love, which side you picking? It's more people that pick like worse than, where they feel like they have a negative feeling about themselves, or that society has a negative feeling about themselves. They'll put themselves over there easy because like they feel that way and it get more sympathy that way. People who feel like, you know, I'm above all of that, yeah, that crowd was real small. You can guess what side I was on, though, but we'll leave that for next show.
Well, I don't know where to go, so I'm just going to pick one. Tomorrow is the Avengers. Depending on what day you're listening to this. We both have tickets for Thursday, and we're not going to talk about it because we haven't seen the movie, although reviews have been good. One casualty of the Avengers is the Venom trailer, which part of it leaked on Monday, because it wasn't supposed to be released until Friday, before the movie. And it leaked, but only the part where you finally get to see Venom / the symbiote, whatever you want to do. So Sony basically had no choice but to put it out, because, you know, it got the visual of Venom looks just like the comic, which, you know, depending on your point of view, is good. So then we get the rest of the trailer. It didn't leave me like, oh, cool. I didn't hate it. I just thought, okay. Like, there's another Sony Spider-Man movie, basically. Like, I don't know. What'd you think?
I was annoyed, and I just got more annoyed about it than anything. Like, the first thought came like this, like, this movie feels like it was from, like, 1996. Like, that's the first, like, this feels like an old movie. Like, something that would, like, you know, like, because Ghost Rider felt the same way. Kind of like, you know, movies they used to do before Marvel started doing comic movies. And it's like, that would have flew back then. And it's a lot to ask for somebody that's seen, like, Logan and Wonder Woman and Black Panther to see this and be like, oh, it's part of, like, the same genre. Because it's like, it didn't look that way. And then I watched it again, and it's kind of like, it seemed greedy. Like, that's the thing that kind of pissed off a lot of people. Because it's different because even when they announced the movies, like, we're doing a Venom, a R-rated Venom story, and there's no Spider-Man. And people were like, why? And it's a difference between somebody saying, we're giving you something no one asked for, because, you know, you might end up liking it, compared to, not only are we giving you something that no one asked for, we're taking away from stuff that you actually would want to see. And it's kind of like, if this felt like Sony being spiteful to prove that they can do a Spider-Man story better than Marvel, even though if they could, they wouldn't be in the predicament they are in the first place. And it's like, why are you? It's kind of like you're only doing this to make money, and you're not doing this because you really want to do this. And so it's already starting off on a bad foot, regardless of the cast, because the cast is good, the director's good, but it's like you're already starting uphill. And then you watch, and it's like, okay, Tom Hardy's doing another goofy voice.
Okay, that's what I was trying to figure out. That wasn't an English accent, because Eddie Brock's not English, but what? I mean, that, it wasn't New York.
That's the whole thing. Like, is it supposed, because it's kind of like, one, that's always an issue, because he likes doing his voices, and it's kind of like, it sounded like it was somebody trying to have a New York accent and failing, but it's kind of like, and that was the big part of it. The whole tag, who wants to unleash their inner anti-hero. Dumb, but oh, corporate, yeah. Stuff's like, but it's corporate stuff. And it fits the character, but it didn't fit the trailer. Like, the whole thing with Eddie Brock, like, in the beginning, is kind of like, he's this vengeful dude that got wronged by Peter Parker. He finds a symbiote who also got wronged by Peter Parker. They become Venom. So he's already starting off, like, shades of gray and goes bad. This one is like, you know, I'm a good guy, I find this thing, and then I'm struggling to be good or bad. And it's kind of like they took, and then I'm in San Francisco being an anti-hero. It's like they took pieces from, like, multiple Venom stories and gave them Spider-Man's origin. Like, why am I watching the Pelican Brief? Like, I'm this reporter trying to find out this company doing experiments on people with this, you know, Humphrey Bogart, James Cagney-ass accent. Like, and everything's, like, the best part about the trailer was the actual Venom stuff, like the special effects. Everything else just seemed like, what is this?
I was watching it, and it's, and the Flash kind of did it this week. There was a lot of him not as Venom, but using Venom-like powers. Like, when he's on the motorcycle, he's just, like, blasting stuff off his hands. Now, maybe this makes sense in the movie. He's just, you know, it's the symbiote protecting itself, and he's not controlling it or whatever, and it's early on. It's just something. Then, okay, but it just looked weird, and to me, it just looked, like, noncommittal. Like, hey, Tom Hardy, everyone wants you to be in some sort of superhero movie that's not Batman, and here's what we can do. And they're like, well, you don't have to be the Venom thing all the time, so you don't have to worry about CG. It's like, I don't remember Eddie Brock. Well, one, who is a jock dickhead, which is just weird that it's a totally changed thing, riding a motorcycle around. I mean, it's not like he's driving a Harley, mind you, but it was still kind of strange. So it's like he's trying to give us, like, an action, suspenseful thriller vibe in the context of, like, a Spider-Man origin story. Like, and this is, I know this is all from the trailer, so this can change, obviously, but I don't know. It didn't make me want to go see this movie, which is the whole point of a trailer. So, I agree with you about the greedy and, like, they're just making it to make it move, because there's literally no reason for this to be made. Because they've tried over and over in Marvel Comics to have Venom series. They've always been, like, four-issue series or whatever else. It's never been a longevity thing, because it was, well, you know, the tagline, the anti-hero stuff. That's what he is. He's not it's not really a main character. It's just the guy that comes up and messes things up, basically. But it's too late. I mean, it's coming out, so.
Yeah, like, it's a story. I know people probably made the excuse, say, you know, it was a goofy character anyway, so you're already working uphill. I'm like, Batman's a goofy character in context, but that's no excuse. You can make, it's enough Venom stuff where you can do a good story with it. And the origins, it has a good, like, you can do a Venom origin story without having Spider-Man in it, just allude to him. Like, it's a way to do this the right way. And it just felt like they just wanted to do it to kind of like, I'd rather fail my own way than succeed doing someone else's way. And that's what, like, you know, we make fun of, like, comic fans. Comic fans will sniff out BS. Yeah. Like, they will sniff that out. It's kind of like, if you just upfront about what you're trying to do, they'll give you a chance. Like, just be upfront, like, you know, and don't feel like you're ashamed of doing something. And they're trying to, like, have it both ways. Like, look, we got the director of Zombieland. We got Academy Award nominee Tom Hardy. We got Academy Award nominee Michelle Williams. We got, you know, we have, act, you know, oh, we got Woody Harrelson, Academy Award. And, like, we have all these prestige actors that are willing to do this. It's an R-rated movie. It's going to be more serious than that, you know, cape nonsense. Give us a chance. Like, that whole hoity-toity thing. It's like, but you see the trailer, it's kind of like, you know, he's an investigative reporter. His idea of being an investigative reporter is walking up to a CEO, somebody say, are you committing crimes that's leading to people's deaths? Yeah, like, I don't think that's how that works in real life.
And what was the line about having, like, being in the shadows and blah, blah, this and this, and then he was, like, telling the lady that she sucks at following him or something?
Yeah.
Like, that. And like, then, oh, he's an investigative reporter. I understand now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then people making fun of how she pronounced symbiote by symbiote, and even though they're both right, it's just, you're just used to hearing one, but it's just funny how, it's funny what people will complain about, because I was reading about it, it's like talking about, you know, they did Google search some of the, when that trailer came out, the search for that word and how to pronounce it, like, spiked a lot. And people, like, looked up, like, on Merriam-Webster Dictionary to find out how to pronounce it. And they were like, you can pronounce it both ways. And then people saying, like, you know, it's a made-up word. I'm like, no, that word's been around for a long time. It's just people never really used it until that comic came out.
Well, I mean, there's such of a thing called a symbiotic relationship, too.
Yes.
So, you know, that's kind of...
And they don't say symbiotic, because that sounds weird when you say it that way. So, but it's just, I'm just seeing this kind of like, okay, this is coming out the same week as Infinity War. And I know it's unfair to compare, but you brought that on yourself. Like, the last comic movie we just saw was Black Panther. The next one that we're about to see is Infinity War. This is what you bring to the party? Mm-hmm. You know, like, one person brought their grandfather's favorite ribs. The other person brought, you know, a steak that's been, you know, marinating for like a month and a half, and you bringing dip that you brought from the store? Like, yeah, no, John, I'm not trying that store bought dip. Sorry to hurt your feelings. And that's kind of how, like, this kind of how that feels right now, where it's like, I'm watching this and I'm usually kind of like a wait and see person to, like, give it a chance. It just turned me off. It's like, this is just, this just feels like you just being greedy.
Yeah, and but I'm wondering, now Sony has the rights to all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just a Spider-Man movie they have to make? Or is it anything that's part of the rights they have to... That,
no.
Does this qualify?
They can do whatever movies they wanted to do. I think how this stuff worked now is kind of like they and Marvel are sharing like, Marvel can share stuff if they ask. Like, because Marvel didn't just use Spider-Man. They used, like, Spider-Man villains, too. But, you know, Sony, if they wanted, could use... If they wanted to have a Vulture in a movie, they could do that, technically, if they wanted to. And if Marvel wanted to have Venom in a movie, and Sony let them, they could do that, too. It's kind of like, you know, Marvel's doing the heavy lifting, and they're splitting the money, if that makes sense. And it's, you know, and people are just like, you know, they got on Sony's like, Marvel can do it better than you. You still making money. What are you doing? Like, just let them do it and get paid. You know, stop trying to prove you can rap when you can't rap. Just be producing, get the check.
Yeah, and basically save your resources.
Yeah, because it's, and another thing, the biggest thing before we go off, and like, okay, I know one, I made the joke, is like, Kevin Hart and The Rock's making all this money, and this movie looks that cheap? Like, didn't Jumanji just make almost $1 billion?
Yeah.
Well. You know, it's like, can't you ask, like, the Sony game division, like, Uncharted made you how much money? You can ask them for, like, you know, lend us extra $15 million so we can see Venom during the daytime?
Yeah. I don't know, man. It almost seems redundant sometimes. And I guess this goes to, like, the now I said they were good reviews. The reviews for Infinity War have been outstanding so far. And it just seems like Marvel Disney's the only one doing it right. Now, Logan was really good, but that was, you can barely consider that a superhero movie. Deadpool, yeah, I mean, it's a superhero movie, but that was like the first of its kind. And I know Blade, I know, I understand Blade is part of the conversation, but of the modern stuff, Deadpool basically allowed Logan to do what it did. But the only like super successful and critically, if that even matters to you, critically rated ones are from Marvel Disney. And I mean, how much credit can Sony take for Spider-Man Homecoming?
None. Yeah. And but you know, the worst thing about it is kind of like Sony lost their way. I can see with like DC and Fox, because it's even then it's like, you know, we tend to forget like X-Men 2 was. It's funny with like Sony, Spider-Man 1, especially Spider-Man 2 was one of those first big ones that was like critically acclaimed and made a whole lot of money. X-Men 2 was also kind of like, you know, critically acclaimed and made good money. So like they used to make good movies, then they kind of like Fox has been like make good bad. It's been like yo-yoing good bad. Sony was kind of like we forgot what worked. Like the first one was fine, the second one was great, the third one was trash because it just did too much, and then the Amazing Spider-Man movies just felt unnecessary. So it's like you already if you felt you were confident enough to do these yourselves, you'd be doing these yourself. And it's obvious that you didn't feel that way, which is why you called Marvel's like, let's make a deal. Because it behooves Marvel to use Spider-Man, but they didn't necessarily need Spider-Man. They were doing just fine without Spider-Man, to be perfectly honest. Like, it's glad that they have him, but they didn't necessarily need him. It helped Sony more than it helped Marvel. So for this, it just feels like, you know, you don't know what you're doing, and you're just being greedy. But Sony Films has a history, like, with those leaked emails that came out, they have a history of kind of like we fall ass into success, but when we try to do it, we just fail. Like, I don't know how, you know, they don't want to pay Kevin Hart money, and then they're like, I don't know why Kevin Hart's successful, but let's try to nix that success. It's like the success they have, they don't understand, and they try to jinx it. And then when they put their hands in it, it's like they just fall on their face. Maybe I know the rumors came out they're trying to just hype this up to sell to the films division. And it's like, if that's the case, you need to do a better job of how you're doing it.
They're trying to hype up, like, use Venom in that to sell?
This and the Men in Black reboot they're doing. Because there's been rumors that they're trying to sell their film, like, focus on, like, the electronics part. Because the electronic parts make money. Movies and music has not been, for the most part. Like, they've... It's funny, like, you know, Jumanji kind of hides a lot of bombs that they have had recently. Know,
that's also a great excuse for a company that... Okay, so what's Disney's problem then? Like, the film division doesn't make money. Well, if you do it, if you, you know, you have the right people in place, sure seems to make a whole hell of a lot of money, actually. So it's like, all right, so our big plan is we're just going to sell... Like, I mean, Fox is the same way. Our big plan, well, these don't make enough money, so we're just going to get rid of it. How about you get your shit together?
I think Fox is different. I think Fox is just a more, yeah, we make money. Because they got, I mean, any studio that has Avatar in it, I doubt making money is an issue. I just feel like they just want to focus on the stuff they want to do. I think with Fox is where they want to focus more on the stuff that they feel comfortable doing. And it's kind of like they're reading the writing on the wall where, unfortunately, it's going to be like three people running movies. And they don't feel like they're going to be one of them. Which is like, you know, for better or for worse, like it's going to, we're going to wake up one day, it's going to basically be Disney Universal. And then like everybody else kind of...
Don't forget Warner Brothers too.
And Warner Brothers, like everybody else kind of getting in where they fit in. And that's really, that's going to be a sad thing, but it might be leaning that way. And I don't know. Because Sony's kind of like, especially now the PlayStation 4, like the PlayStation 4 is like, they do just fine with the TVs. They've been killing Microsoft at the whole video game thing, like between them and Nintendo. So it's like, the movies now, it seems like we not really feel comfortable doing this anymore. We don't necessarily have to do this. So if we can make money doing our stuff that we feel we can do, why waste our time? But if you're going to do that, just... lease that stuff out. Like, just, you know, have Marvel, either sell it to Marvel or have Marvel doing a share of the money. Don't half-ass this and say, we're just going to do this just to do it, to prove that we can when we know that you can't.
Yeah, I'm looking to see, all right, Sony Columbia, like, their all-time movies. Oh, they have James Bond?
Yeah.
Okay. Dude, these are all... Wait, is this for... Okay.
It's going to be James
all,
Bond?
It's all recent, obviously, but it's all James Bond. Ghostbusters, is that the new one? No, the old one. Holy shit. Ghostbusters, the original, made $229 million in 1984. Can you imagine how much that would be now?
A whole lot of money. Jesus.
But yeah, it's all Jumanji, Spider-Man 2, 3, Homecoming, Skyfall, Amazing Spider-Man, Men in Black, Ghostbusters, Hancock. I did not realize Hancock made that much money because that got panned to death.
Yeah, I actually like that movie. It was the people forget how big Will Smith was. It was like he basically he was what The Rock is now. Like he ran movies, and it was like we didn't have superhero movies back then, so it was like it was just Will Smith. Like big stuff was like Will Smith and Tom Cruise, basically. Like if Tom Cruise wasn't coming out with stuff, Will Smith was. And money wise, Will Smith was kind of like blowing Tom Cruise out the water.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like Sony.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, like Sony's basically like, you know, Men in Black, James Bond, Spider-Man, and The Rock with Kevin Hart, like just coming in late, like, you know, carrying a mid-card. And it's funny thinking about that. We've been talking about Sony, like they announced they're going to bring, you know, Jumanji sequel out next Christmas.
Yeah, 2019, that's pretty quick.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, yeah, it may come out the same weekend as Star Wars. So what? And it's kind of like, I mean, and honestly, I don't even blame them because it's like they showed last year, like if you have good movies, people see both. And I don't, and considering that, you know, Jumanji kind of knocked Last Jedi out of first place and was like number one for a long ass time, I don't actually really blame them for kind of feeling that way because they're like, you know, we did it our way. It worked. It proved like people, you know, people might try to see Star Wars and sold out, they'll come see us. So it's like it's basically enough. Normally people kind of afraid. It's like, you know, I ain't coming out when something big comes out, and they're feeling like it's enough for both people to eat.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, obviously we'll see. That's the J.J. Abrams one, right, for Star Wars?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know Solo comes out, what, next month?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, real quick before we get into anything else, some footage from Aquaman was shown.
Yeah, I was reading about that.
People seem really, really excited about this one.
Yeah.
Him fighting Black Manta, him fighting, Ocean Master. And one thing I read was that this was probably James Wan's most ambitious and biggest movie ever. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? I was like, didn't he do a Fast and the Furious movie?
Yeah, they said yes, even bigger than that, which is saying a lot. The funny thing is, we were both kind of figured it'd be good because like it's James Wan and they basically let him do whatever he wants. Like it seems like he's not getting the interference that Patty Jenkins got, and even they gave her some leeway. And Wonder Woman turned out the way it turned out. Imagine what she was able to do without any interference. And it's like, yeah, she can do what James Wan's doing now. And like he knows what he's doing. And it's funny, like you wouldn't picture Jason Momoa as Aquaman, but he fits. Like Justice League had issues, him as Aquaman was not one of the issues at all. Like that character fits. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing it.
And that was supposed to be this year, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to come out December.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm wondering, this is one of the reasons I brought it up, I'm wondering, do we possibly see this before Avengers? If they're shown at some sort of convention, isn't this...
Well, they said it wasn't... He even said like it wasn't ready, and I think he wants to wait till stuff is ready. But it's funny how it's been like with trailer stuff where stuff hasn't been coming out early like it used to. I remember we were talking about the whole thing like until it got moved, like we didn't see anything for X-Men, and it's like this coming out like November until they got moved back to next year, and it's like we hadn't seen one trailer. We still don't know who's in the movie or who's rumored to be in the movie. It's like it's different when it was last year. It was like, okay, we're in March, we haven't seen nothing yet, and it got to the point where it's like, okay, we're not going to see anything anytime soon because it got pushed to 2019. This one, I feel like, get it right and take your time to get it right.
Yeah.
Before it's like, you know, it's more important, like, first impressions is better to get it right the first time, because otherwise people will make fun of you. And even some like Deadpool, where people should gain the benefit of the doubt for Deadpool 2. Even then, people are like, oh, I heard all this stuff. I heard they're doing a reshoot. This movie's going to bomb. Until the trailers came out, and then people felt real fucking stupid.
Did we talk? Yeah, we talked about the last one. The Oh, no. Was that? Yeah, that was the last one with Peter at the end, right?
Yeah.
Is that his name? Yeah. Yeah, the Deadpool stuff, I don't know. See, before this is before the internet, you had to read magazines, or you had to read trade show, or be like on trade publications, all that sort of stuff. People didn't know that movies were reshot or got help from outside, from other writers to bring, that were brought in to like punch up a script or clean up a script or anything like that. So now it's like, shouldn't people understand how this works? That
nope.
Movies are going to have this. Well, they should. They're not going to, because I think it's just the cynicism of it all, to where if someone goes, well, we're doing reshoots at the last moment, oh my God, it's got to suck. Well, no.
It's something that's always done, and a lot of times people say, you know, sometimes they're done later because people have jobs, other jobs where they go out and do stuff, and like, you know, normally people didn't care because it was natural. Now it's like you care about every single thing. So it's like, especially if you have like a certain reputation, even if you got a good reputation, it's kind of like Marvel's the only one where reshoots, they don't care, because they have reshoots all the time and you never hear any, oh, this is going to suck, because they build enough goodwill where that's not an issue. Everybody else, it's a problem. And actually, we didn't talk about that trailer. We talked about it to each other, but we didn't talk about it on the show, because I think it came out after we did the show.
Okay. All right. I was wondering. We talked about Deadpool. I think we talked about the trailer that had come out before, because we had missed it because of WrestleMania or something. But yeah, that was the final one. Yeah, we have not, because it had Shatterstar in it. They actually introduced the team. It was Bedlam, who's Terry Crews. Is that a real character or someone made up?
No, it's a real character.
Okay. So it's not Bishop. Bedlam, Domino, whose superpower is she's lucky. I like that exchange quite a bit. He's like, my power's lucky. That's not a superpower. Yes, it is. We'll both agree that it's not. Then just move on. Like, okay. Shatterstar?
Mm-hmm.
That was a stupid-looking character to begin with. They didn't shy away. I thought they would change up something on that character, and they kept that dumbass helmet on him. I immediately started laughing. Like, are they playing him for laughs? But, I mean, I guess he's got the opportunity to be cool, but... who else was there?
It was another character. They didn't say what her name was, because she had, like a yeah, and she's swinging around a sickle, and they didn't mention her name, and her name's not on IMDb yet either. So,
and then there's Peter.
Yeah, I just signed up. I saw the ad. I just signed up for it. Like, you're on the team, and if they just did that, been funny enough. But then to see him jump out with a parachute, just like, hey.
Well, apparently that guy has been using his Twitter as the Peter character. I can't remember, but Peter's really into rescue cats and like something else. That's all his Twitter account is. And don't swear at him. Don't use, even if you use the word damn, he'll say, hey, I appreciate the comments, but please watch your language, that sort of stuff. So it's like a little inside view of how that character's going to turn out. So that's why when they do reshoots, you just go, oh, okay, it's probably going to make the movie better. So,
yeah.
Well, hopefully.
And it's funny. It's kind of like you were wondering who the villain of the movie is. And it's kind of like Cable is, which is perfect, because like, you don't have to build up somebody else. Like, you know, or because one, it was unexpected. And two, it's like it fit perfectly where he's a big part of the story anyway. You don't have to build up somebody, you know, for strangers. And then, of course, you get those, you know, Thanos jokes, One-Eyed Willie jokes. Like, you're going to get Josh Brolin jokes, and you're going to get, like, DC jokes. they joked about themselves. Like, yeah, that's one thing I like about Deadpool. They won't just make fun of other people because it's easy. They'll make fun of everything, including like themselves and their studio. And I give credit to Fox, like, for letting that happen.
It's like if you're ever gonna be able to skewer, your own product, this is pretty much the only one you can do it with.
Yeah, but even then, it takes because you know Hollywood tends to be humorless as hell, and like it takes a certain level. Either like you either have to be indifferent, or like we're making money anyway, so laugh as like like that line. Deadpool one's like, oh, it's the same two people. It's like we can afford to hire any X-Men, and it's kind of like it's true. It's something that we all think about, but you don't expect somebody to actually say that, and you don't expect the Fox to let that slide. It's kind of like, you know, like WWE makes insider jokes, but they normally don't make jokes at their own expense. So the few times it's due is kind of weird. And it just felt the same way, like, you know, like you said before, if anybody's going to do it, Deadpool's the movie to do it. It's still funny. I'm looking real forward to seeing it, but also it's funny where movies are about to get real jumbled, and I think Avengers coming out a week early is messing with everybody else.
How so?
For better or for worse. No, because it's kind of like Rampage got moved up a week, which affected like Pacific Rim and other stuff, and you know they moved up a week, like, you know, basically like Rampage moved a week to avoid Infinity War. And then Infinity War moved up a week, I think, to give more space to Solo. But then it's kind of like that helped. That actually helps Deadpool a little bit because it gives them more time frame. So them moving helps them. It messed up everybody else. And it's funny, people kind of said, like, you know, Black Panther, it's great Black Panther was successful because really nobody else was beside that in A Quiet Place. Like, everybody else got trashed because... I don't have any sympathy. Like, if you're good, you'll make money. And if you're not, you're going to get steamrolled by somebody who is. That's just how it works.
Yeah. And especially, this is obviously, I think I've mentioned on the show, if not, it's off air. I got the last two decent seats for Infinity War at the IMAX. Everything else was front row. And even when I went back, the front row was sold out. IMAX front row. I don't think there's a worse viewing experience you can have. Other than having to look at the floor the whole time, or the wall, you know? So everything, everything is, for Avengers, everyone's going to see it this weekend. Because I think, and I honestly think this, tomorrow or this weekend, I believe at the 22 theater, or house theater, 15 of them are the Avengers. So everyone's view is going to be on this movie this weekend. You get a break, and then there's no one's dumb enough to put some out next week, is there?
I have to check. It's always somebody. I haven't checked to see, but I know I'm looking at, for me, it's like I'm going to IMAX, but I'm going in Austin, but the fear I know we go to Harker Heights, like I'm looking Friday, and they have, let me see how many shows, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, hold on, I gotta go back, I lost kind of after 14, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 18 showings.
Holy shit.
18. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. No, I'm sorry. 19 showings. Because they have 12 regular time and 7 in 3D. 19. So it's basically playing every 45 minutes, more or less. Just think about that. Like, this movie is... Yeah, it's like... So basically... And you know the funny thing was? That may not even be enough. Because I remember Black Panther had like 18, and people were saying, oh, I couldn't, I tried to go, and it was sold out. They like went the whole day. Like, it was like, I know it was like for like 2 weeks, it was for an issue where people it was showing like every hour, people still could not go to see that. And I think Avengers is going to be worse. Like, this movie's going to be a damn monster.
And what I was getting at is, if you've got to get your stuff together, because... You've got, and this is kind of how it works, period, now. So you've got your opening weekend, and Black Panther and Jumanji probably being the two recent that break this streak, but you make pretty much all your money opening weekend. You have all the attention opening weekend. After that, people still go to the movies, but obviously nowhere near, you know, what it is opening weekend. So you can successfully fit something in. I don't like the days of, remember Speed Racer? What movie did that come out after? And it got, besides being a bad movie, it got hammered. And that pretty much ended the Wachowski. Yeah, there's two of them. Yeah, the Wachowski's, you know, big time career. But you can still make a lot of money as long as you got everything lined up. And I can't find what comes out after. So
yeah, it's funny you brought that up. There are exceptions. It's like if you're good, people may not see you the first week, but they'll catch up with you eventually, make money. Because I look at a movie like Jumanji's a big thing where it wasn't number one. It wasn't like number one until like either its second weekend or third weekend. I think it's third weekend. Like it was out and it's like, you know, people went to see it and people were surprised by how many people to see it. But it's like, you know, Star Wars is out. And then second weekend, people went to see it. And it's like, well, Star Wars is still out. But then my third weekend is like, people still going to see it. It's like, it's number one, weekend three. Weekend four is number one. Weekend five, it was number one. Went down to number two, weekend six. Weekend seven back to number one. So it's kind of like, and word of mouth helped that. It's like same way, like, you know, A Quiet Place, Get Out. It's kind of like, if you're good and depending on your genre, even if they don't catch you week one, if you're good, they'll catch you eventually. If you're not good, yeah, you got one weekend to get it, because it's kind of like word of mouth gets out. And then if you don't get it the first weekend, you're not getting it. Like Pacific Rim Uprising. It's kind of like, you know, the people who wanted to see it went to see it. And once that was it, that was it. It wasn't like, oh, we missed it, so we're going to see it next week. It's like, oh, we missed it, I'll catch it on Netflix.
And see, that's kind of where I'm at with Rampage, but I want to see Rampage on the big screen.
Yeah, you should see it on the big screen. And it's funny where Rampage, like The Rock, is almost that whole thing where his stuff tends to linger. Mm-hmm. Like even if it's like not number one, it'll just be there for a while. It's like, oh, end up making good money. Like even Rampage will end up making money. And it's kind of like, I remember the jokes when that trailer came out, and it's like, okay, I know The Rock, I know you're The Rock, but huh? Like it's kind of like, okay, I know you only sleep 2 hours a day. Maybe you need to sleep like an extra hour, because why do you think this is a good idea? And it worked. Like, I won't spoil the movie. The movie, he does the movies that people used to do and don't do anymore.
Yes.
Basically. Like, that's all it is. Like, you know, it wasn't great. It was good. It was fun. I went there. I like, you know what? This is a fun movie. It wouldn't work with nobody else. I don't know why am I caring so much about this relationship between Rock and a giant ass monkey, but I do, and I don't feel bad caring about it. And it's like, he makes the movies that Michael Bay doesn't make anymore. He makes that type of movie that, you know, Roland Emmerich doesn't know how to do well anymore. It's like, he does that big blockbuster style movie that people don't make because everyone makes comic movies, and they work.
Yeah. Well, no, I think you nailed it with he makes movies that people don't. And luckily, he's built up his brand enough that you can trust him. Like, he kind of went off course with Baywatch. If you look at like the movies he's been putting out, Baywatch just seemed like a weird one, but whatever.
I think it was kind of like he wanted to do, cuz everybody was kind of doing that R-rated comedy thing, and it's kind of like, you know, I just did a comedy, like Central Intelligence worked. I got a comedy streak, you know, these other moves, like, you know, the RA comedies were working if they're good, but that one's just kind of like, it just felt, that's the only Rock movie I haven't seen yet. I still haven't even seen Baywatch yet, because I think the reviews kind of just kind of like scare me off, and it's like, I'll just catch it when I catch it, and I still haven't caught it yet. But even then, he made fun of like, yeah, we tried something, it didn't work, shit happens. And he didn't blame anybody, he just kept it moving. Like, I wanted to do something, it didn't come out the way I wanted. I can make fun and laugh at it because I know I messed up, and I'll be better.
Especially when he's one of the producers, he's got to throw some money in too. So, yeah, I mean, that's when you're allowed to say that stuff. But if, you know, when you're using other people's money, you got to be careful with that sort of thing. Especially with, I mean, I know it's The Rock, but I almost said he could be replaced. I don't know if I actually believe that or not.
Nah,
but
he's...
it's Hollywood, and there's always, and I want to make sure we use this for a third week in a row. There's always a generic white guy to try and take his spot.
Guess what? if they could have found one by now, they would have found one by now. So the fact that it's like, if it's anybody that's kind of like, you know, no one can do what The Rock, no one can do what he does, it's The Rock, because he's the only actor that can make big time blockbuster movies that make almost like comic book money movies that's not comic book money movies. Like, it's just him. Like, it's even Tom, like, Mission Impossible makes a lot of money, but they top off at maybe like $650 million. Fast and Furious is a big thing, but that's more like a brand thing. That's not any like one person doing that. The Rock's doing that by himself. And if it was any doubt about him doing that, Jumanji kind of knocked out the bus. Like, that movie made almost $1 billion. No one thought that movie was going to... Like, that movie went up against Star Wars and thrived. No one thought that was going to be a thing. Like, no one else would do that. And he's able to do that. So he's at the point where he's almost kind of like bulletproof, as far as where if I make a blockbuster that's decent, it's going to make money. And I don't need a brand. I don't need to be part of a comic friend. Because you think about it. I know eventually he's going to show up in the DC universe. Ha ha. Fingers crossed. Like, I'm winking. I'll see. But it's like, the fact that he's able to make these big movies and he hasn't done a comic movie yet is kind of like, yeah, how's that? That seems weird. Like, he's successful in his own. He's successful in his own way. Like, he doesn't need to do those. Like, if he wants to do it, he will. But if he doesn't, he'll be fine.
Yep. No, he doesn't need them. That's the whole point. Because remember, he's got Rampage just came out, and then he's got Skyscraper coming out as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know, is that it for this year? I'm sure he's got four or five more movies coming out this year.
No, I think this year that is it. I know he started doing Jungle Cruise with Emily Blunt and Jesse Plemons.
These goofy-ass movies that I just immediately laughed at the title. Because isn't that supposed to be like the based on the Disney ride?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm like, whatever. But then the trailer's going to come out and be like, oh, that looks pretty cool.
Yeah. It's because like people like Emily Blunt, Jesse Plemons is awesome. And you can't go too long without The Rock in a jungle. Like, he's got a rock with a dirty shirt on. Like, it's funny where he's been in like 8-9 movies like that. And no one has an issue. Like, people make jokes about, but we all go to see, it's like, okay, it's The Rock in a dirty shirt or The Rock in a jungle. Like, that's what he basically does now. And it's kind of like, it works. And people want him to do that. Like, you know, he did Snitch and he did Faster and stuff like that. And it was fine. He did the comedy stuff with like The Game Plan and all that stuff. And that was fine. He does these movies, you know, yeah, I'm this helicopter pilot that knows how to jump out of an airplane and I can drive a speedboat and do all this and just know how to handle everything when an earthquake happens. And we just go with it because, like, yeah, The Rock looks like he can, I can believe that. You know, oh, he's a one-legged man trying to save his family, jumping off a burning building 200 miles in the air. Well, I mean, I don't know how the physical work, but The Rock says you work hard enough to do it. I'll roll with it. Like, whatever you're selling, I'll at least give you the benefit of doubt, Rock.
I mean, he's all right. Whatever, we do this all the time. He's the modern day, like, equivalent of Stallone, Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
all those guys. I mean, there's nobody else. I mean, Statham for a while, but he made so many movies that a lot of people didn't see unless you were on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
All of Rock stuff now is going to the big screen.
Yeah.
So it's just, and after a while, I mean, I'm hoping that he learned the lessons like Schwarzenegger didn't learn until it was too late. Like, you gotta be careful with the properties. Because what was, I don't even remember, it wasn't, well, End of Days was one. Is that what it was called?
Yeah, End of Days. And then the six, no. No, Eraser was like the last one, that like action movie that kind of made money. I think he did, what was it? The one with the clones, The Sixth Day.
See, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, like he had the one with the Devil movie because he showed up on SmackDown to give him a title, and he had the one for the clones, and then he became governor, basically, more or less. And like after like Terminator 3. It's just a fact where if you make good, he's a PG-13 Stallone Schwarzenegger, basically, with a touch of Harrison Ford, like Indiana Jones Harrison Ford, where you know you want to like The Rock, you want to root for him, and it's like he's this big monster dude, but he's still relatable. Like the, because think about it, like even a wrestling character, The Rock was an asshole, even when he was a babyface. Like he was a high school jock jerk. He made fun of men. He made fun of women for daring to like him. He still kiss. He's like he still be a, like he was one of the few like wrestlers that like, had sex appeal, like played off on it and made you feel bad for liking him. Like if Rick Rude was a babyface, and everyone liked The Rock, like why? And it's kind of like, you know, it's something inherently likable about him, and he's able to charm. Because even when he, like the few times he played a villain, it's like it works. But you don't want to root against The Rock. Like, I remember watching Get Smart, and I forgot he was a villain in that movie.
Yeah, he turned out to be the
villain.
I forgot.
And he was a good villain. It's like, this feels bad. Like, you know, it only worked because Steve Carell is likable himself. So it's like, okay, you know. And The Rock's like, it felt kind of like, you know, he kind of picking on this little dweeb guy so that I can see. But now it's like, I want to see The Rock as a bad guy. Like, I want to see The Rock as a badass. I can see The Rock as, like, Shades of Grey. I don't want to see The Rock as a villain. Like, I like The Rock. I don't want to not like The Rock. Especially, you got to have some, like, if he's the bad guy, you got to have a great good guy.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, but who could be that great of a good guy? I'm guessing Tom Cruise. But, I mean, in a physical fight?
Yeah.
That ain't happening. You know? So, I agree with you. It would be different, that's for sure. And I think that's what made that I Spy movie. Wait, was it? No. Get Smart, right?
Get Smart.
That
mm-hmm.
was it. That's what made that, like, so surprising. Because, I mean, all right. But, and I forgot all about that movie. God, that was a long time ago. Not really, but it was still a long time ago. But, while we were talking, I looked up, and the next movie, movies that come out next week, something called Bad Samaritan.
I saw the previews for that.
Overboard? This can't be a remake, is it? Of the Kurt Russell one? It's got Anna Faris, and I can't read who the other guy's name is. Oh, fuck, no. I'm not even bothering trying to pronounce his name. And that's not... I mean, I'm going to butcher it, so... Tully, which starring Charlize Theron?
Small thing, yeah.
That's what I'm trying to... I'm wondering if that's... What was that movie she had? Adulthood or something like that? Whatever.
Young adult.
That's it. The next is Breaking In. That's next week. That's on the 11th of May. And Life of the Party, the new Melissa McCarthy one. Then you get Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
The week after is Solo. I don't know what Action Point is. Oh, okay. Have you seen the preview for this Action Point?
My Action Point.
It's okay. It stars Johnny Knoxville. It's about a real place.
Oh, yeah, the amusement park.
Yes,
thing. And yeah, I've seen that preview like six goddamn times.
I've only seen it twice,
I still don't even remember the name of the damn movie. Yeah. So that sounds like I've seen the preview. I know it's a movie about. I keep forgetting what the name of the movie was.
Yeah, just for the fact that that's based on a real place where people really got hurt. And knowing that they actually did the stunts for it, it's pretty, like, another Jackass thing, which that stuff always cracked me up. But just looking through the thing, I mean, looking through the list, Ocean's 8, which I guess people are going to want to go see.
Yeah, I want to see that, actually.
Right. Ocean's 11 was fine. No, it was good. Ocean's 12,
I like the,
okay.
Yeah.
13,
I like 11.
Oh, fuck.
I like 11 and 13. 11 was the best. 13 was cool, because... somehow Al Pacino being a prick just works for me. 12, it just seemed like, yeah, this is just like, I just want to go on vacation.
but we've got a nice broken up spell coming up. So, anyways, but yeah, it.
Oh, we've talked for almost an hour, mm-hmm. And we haven't talked about the fact where, okay, Fast and Furious is one of our favorite movie franchises. And we always make the joke like, you know, there's superheroes and it's almost like a cartoon. And we never talked about how, you know, we made joke like, well, you know, they had toys. And I'm not surprised. They actually have a cartoon coming out.
Yes. We have never talked about this.
No,
even,
we have.
Like off air.
Yeah. How did that happen? It's kind of like we both knew, and it's like, I don't know if I was like, I was waiting for you to tell me, or you was waiting for me to tell you. It's like, because I knew you found out, and I'm like, okay, I found out. I know I find stuff out early, but I'm like, Jeremy's going to find out about this.
I was just waiting for it to not happen. Like, all right, this isn't, like, kind of like the Deadpool cartoon that I forgot about. I just wonder if this is even going to happen. Like...
Tony Toretto, Dom's secret cousin. I read the plot and I'm like, I know we made the jokes about, you know, me familiar and anything about family and we go all over the world. And now he got some, I know he had cousins in like Dominican that we never knew about. He even had a cousin in Cuba that just popped out. Now he's got some young, like, he got some young ass cousin that was out of juvie, and he's gonna be part of a secret government organization solving crime. Like, we haven't Vin Diesel Jr. Like, this, all the stories you can tell in the Fast and Furious universe, and you have the freedom of animation, and yeah, this screams Vin Diesel jerk off vanity project.
Yeah, Tony Toretto, a teen who follows in the footsteps of his cousin Dom, played by Vin Diesel in the movies. Yes, we know. Tony's recruited by a government agency to infiltrate an elite racing league bent on world domination.
the evil Formula One, when they're not busy doing races, they're doing human trafficking. Now I'm just preaching like Lewis Hamilton doing human trafficking on the side.
Okay, but this is the next sentence. I wish I would have read the whole thing. So whoever the smartass is that wrote this says, which sounds about as plausible as anything in the live-action flicks. I agree with you, so, yeah.
Nah, even this is pushing... Okay, even this is pushing... an elite racing organization on world... Like, world domination?
No, a racing league. Not even an organization. Yeah, it's a
racing league.
It's NASCAR, basically.
Who is this? Cobra? Like, or the... Or Tomax and Zaymot running this thing, and it's a damn front for Cobra. Like, okay, I'm just laughing at this because I'm just sitting here, like, you know, Vinny's gonna have his voice, like, okay, Tony, you know, we remember when you're going across the Monaco, no matter how deep you get in, remember me familiar, remember the family, and remember you can't drink Coronas because you're still 17. Like, and we're going to watch Netflix, and he's going to, you know, his spunky sidekick, is Twinkie going to show up? is Lucas Black from, you know what, that guy from Tokyo Drift, I finally saw him on NCIS, like, New Orleans for the first time, like, right before I was going. No, because I had never really watched it. I've watched bits and pieces, but then when he was on, I know he's really from the South, but that accent, Lord. Like, I feel like he's... That accent makes sense. And I've lived in different parts in the South. I've never lived in a part of the South that accent made any sense. That's the type of accent someone that's making fun of country people puts on. And the fact that he's from the South and has that accent. Like, even... Did you see the second Kingsman?
No. I own it. I have not watched it yet. Yeah. Because the Xbox sucks. So
yeah. Because Channing Tatum's in it for a little bit. And he's Southern, and he busts out this Southern accent that just sound like it sounds. I've heard it before, so it didn't sound that bad to me. But I can see, like, this sound kind of like, you know, my mama says you gotta have your manners, and we learned the manners from the Englishman, and y'all keep none for yourselves. And let me tell you something, you get him from secret organization and yada yada yada. Let me tell you something, boy, that dog don't hunt. So put your hands up. Imagine him talking like that. It's like, what's this hillbilly AJ Styles nonsense going on? Like that. That has nothing on how Lucas Black talk on anything. And I'm just picturing him showing up on Netflix. It's like, you know, tell me about the Tokyo part of this secret racing league. I'm still stuck on this whole racing league bent on world domination.
I just I I think we're also missing the obvious that even though it's Tony Toretta, you know Vin Diesel's going to do his voice.
Mm-hmm. And, I hope not.
Oh, I certainly hope so. of anything more absurd that his cousin is probably going to be just like Dom. Maybe he'll have hair, but you can already you already picture what this guy's going to look like. And then,
how old is his cousin? That's going to be the thing.
Oh, I don't care. No, that's the whole point of it, though. Because it won't matter. He's 13 years old getting out of juvie or whatever he's getting out of. And he just comes out like looking like a doughy muscle man like Vin Diesel. Like, yeah, that'd be hilarious.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to watch it. So, I mean, let's not make any...
Yeah, oh, we are going to watch it. I'm definitely watching it because I have to just see... I just have to see how insane this is. And I'm like, I'm surprised it took this long. I'm not... That's... I shouldn't be that surprised that, of course, it's Tony Toretto, because of course it is. And it's just kind of like, yeah.
They couldn't call him Anthony Toretto, you know, just.
No, someone mad at, his girlfriend, when she's mad at him for leaving, you know, his track pants on the floor, they'll call him Anthony Luigi Toretto, because it's cracking me up. Like, we always ignore the fact that it's like, he's Italian in this movie. Him and Mia Toretto is like, having half, I think Vin is like half black, half Italian real life anyway, but it's like, Giordano Brewster is like South American. I mean, and it's just funny, and I never ever thought about that. Like, this whole time I watch this movie, and they make it, like, it's a diverse movie, but every time I see Vin Diesel, it never seems like, wait a second. These will be two Italian guys in Los Angeles that's like stealing cars and stuff like that. I'm like, that never clicked to how ridiculous that seemed for some reason. And I never thought about that watching any of the movies. You know, like, his name is Dominic Toretto. Like, that's a name right there. Like, it screams a certain look. That look does not scream a tank top wearing Nas driving lunkhead.
And you know, we've seen, you say that, I never thought either.
Yeah, and I've never thought about that. We've seen 8 of the movies, and I've heard Dominic Toretto spewing and spouting about Mi Familia, family, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, he's basically a mob, you know, arm breaker, hiding in plain sight this entire movie, all of these movies, and it never clicked in until now. Like, just now, the first time that clicked in, like, it's something weird about that franchise anyway. And I think that's why I love it so much, because it's kind of like, when you look deep into it, none of it makes sense.
No, not a damn thing about it does. Yeah. I mean, their house gets blown up. Let's not forget this one, too. Their house gets blown up, and nothing. Like, nothing's
where's
come
the,
of that.
Where's the authority? Hey, where's the cops?
Yeah, like, they didn't even mention, like, well, you know, they're looking into why it blew up, or, you know, the insurance, we're rebuilding, just something. You know, just nothing. I mean, just give a nod to it, at least, other and than, well, Shaw like, blew it up.
And it's not like he's a nobody. Like, mm-hmm. he's... Even though he has a part in it like that, this is still, this Los Angeles guy that's been in the system, we already know he used to steal this stuff. And even if we don't remember this stuff, all the stuff that happened in Brazil and all this stuff that happened overseas, like, yeah, somebody with a cell phone took a picture of you fighting a damn tank in Europe. Like, you know, it's kind of like people know who damn Kourtney Kardashian is. We know the world knows who Dominic Toretto is. It's like, come on now. It's like, his house blew up in Los Angeles. A house just blows up, and you know, to a notorious celebrity. Like, let me ask a question. If Brad Pitt's house just blew up, don't you think that'd be news?
Yeah. And also, but then also all of the, like, they just got cleared by the government.
Yeah.
You don't think the government's going to be immediately all over that again? I mean.
Yeah, like, what just, you guys get into so this stupid. Time? Like, I thought you were, hello, fellas, I thought you were retired with this whole international criminal thing. And now your house blows up in Los Angeles, California. What's going on, guys?
With hey, a like, view of this downtown? Yes.
Yeah. Like, this ain't the John Wick universe. Like, it wouldn't be like, hey, how you doing, Dom? House cleaning? Yeah, house cleaning. Okay, I'll leave you to it. That ain't how this universe worked, but apparently it does. But, I mean, hey, Gal Gadot used to be, she just used to work for a drug lord and was just like a mole, something like that. And then next movie, oh, yeah, she used to be an Israeli assassin that was in the army.
Yeah, let's not forget Han as well. So,
you know, Han's the only one that makes sense because they never told you what he did. You just knew he did stuff and he just walked around sad, but you couldn't figure out why. But, you know, between that and him, between Giselle and Ludacris, like, oh, yeah, I used to race cars. I got an accident. I used to work with a limp. And then somehow I'm a computer hacker with a six-pack that knows how to fight.
Yeah. Well, and then the incredibly beautiful, God, what's her name? Ramsey. You know, I'm sorry. Most computer hackers, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say 99% of them don't look like her. Nor do they look like Brad Pitt from, like, the, what's the, Thelma and Louise days. I'm pretty sure none of them look like that.
And so, we used to make jokes about that when Sandra Bullock was doing that in the 90s, and when Angelina Jolie was doing that in the late 90s, we were like, wait a second, hackers don't look like these. Yeah. Hackers don't like supermodels. And that was like in the 90s and 2000s. And now it's like the 2000 aughts, and they still pulling that out. But I'm like, hey, they had Gal Gadot being a goon. And it's funny where, like, she was basically the muscle of the team. It's like, this woman's like 5'10", 105 pounds, and she's like the henchman of the team. But it's like, well, you know, in real life, she used to be, you know, military instructor in the damn Israeli army. So you can't complain. And it's just funny, like, you can't complain that much. And now she's Wonder Woman. Nothing about this series makes any sense. But, you know, that's why it's fun. They play it straight, and that's why we watch it. Like, I'm really looking forward to the spinoff with Statham and The Rock, and like having them in the Fast and Furious universe with a John Wick director with money. Like, imagine what that guy can do with a budget. Is what I keep going back to.
Yeah. Well, we're about to find out. Real quick, let's wrap up with a rapid session of the CW shows. We don't have to get too detailed. I told you over Messenger, and it actually carried over to today. I enjoyed Supergirl quite a bit. Even though it was pretty heavy, and I actually liked Flash. As goofy as Flash was, and not without it, you know, it's still its problems, I enjoyed him. Seeing Barry finally, like, show some, like, they've gone on for, is this four seasons of this show now? Three?
Mm-hmm. This season four.
So to see him finally break down that something was wrong, like, in a real way, was pretty powerful. And actually, I mean, I don't want to say enjoyable, because that's the wrong word, really, but it was like, all right, good. There's something at the heart of the matter, finally. And that I liked. I'm going to miss Wentworth Miller on all these shows. Because that's his last show, right? That he was contracted for. And that's why I liked it was the whole Dorothy going home thing. Because, and then there was you. And I liked how we ended it with, you never know. Or whatever the line was. And I'm like, oh, man, there he goes. And, you know, I just liked it. Supergirl, I thought, when they deal with superhero stuff and they keep, like, the character motivations true instead of hamstringing and forcing and all the other bullshit they usually try and do, this is good stuff. Like, the writers know how to do superhero stuff. And it's like, keep doing it. So, I don't know. I don't know when Supergirl ends. I think I said June. Do we have that long to go with that?
Yeah, I mean, because it was gone for a while because Legends had to finish. And it wasn't like Legends had like three episodes to do. Legends was on for like, what, almost a month and a half, 2 months?
Ooh, June 18th. So, yeah, we got a long way to go with this one then.
Yeah, so like between the stuff with John and his dad, which was just heartbreaking. Because anyone that's had a parent or grandparent that's gone through that's like that, you know exactly how that feels, and it's just tough doing that. And then the stuff that was even kind of like between Lena and Sam, yeah, that was tough. Like when she saw herself like being Rain and just breaking down, I was like, this is some rough ass stuff. Because it's different, like you know something's wrong, but you'll know what's going on. And then like your friend is telling you, like, you know, like you're a villain. And it's like, come on now. Like, if I was doing that, you think I'd know I was doing that and everything like that. And it's like, of course you would think that because you were Luthor and she lashing out stuff. And Lena could have got pissed and she could have gotten mad like the hell with you. Was like, you know, I'm your friend and I got to be your friend. But to be like, she did the right thing, but she was cruel. Like, you know, you don't even deserve to have your daughter, yada, yada, yada. Then she lashed out and everything. And then to see that and then think about all those people you killed and hurt and stuff like that. It's like, that gotta be, even like it's not technically you, it's still you, and it's still like, that gotta be devastating. Like, you wake up one day, oh, I'm a mass murderer. I may never be able to see my, I can't see my daughter because I don't want my daughter to know I'm a damn killer. Like, and it just happened like that. Like, that's, it's not like it's a gradual thing or you found out slow. It's just kind of like you knew someone's wrong, but you didn't know how bad it was.
Yeah.
Like, imagine, yeah, like, imagine you woke up tomorrow, like, oh, I'm the Joker.
Yeah, it's real. It's like it's real emotion. It's not like that was always my problem with Supergirl, is everything's felt forced. So they done a good job of this season of making, you know, as weird as it may have seemed at the time, to where a scene like this kind of worked. And let's not forget the stuff with Kara and Mon-El as well.
Oh yeah, she finally figuring out. She finally saying what people been thinking a long time. Yeah, your boyfriend was a dickhead. Like, we forget, like, we laugh at it now, we kind of forget because he's like decent now. He was an ass. Like, he was a straight up jerk, and she was kind of like, we only let it slide because they got together well. It was like, to hear her finally say what's probably a lot of people used to think about and almost forgot about, and kind of like get out in the open. Like, a lot of, you know, it's different when you say stuff out loud, because you can always say you didn't mean it, you meant it at the time. And some people say stuff like, we talked about when that Arrow episode with Diggle and Ollie, like, when they were saying what they were saying, they were doing it for, like, maximum pain. Like, it wasn't this whole, I'm just mad, so I say this low. I'm mad, so it's giving me justification to say this, because I want to hurt you, because you made me mad. And hers the same way, like, I'm feeling heightened emotion, so I'm going to say also, like, yeah, you were ass. Like, I try to give you a chance, you making out with these random sluts, and you messing up my job, and you doing this, and now you show up in my life with this new bitch, and yada yada yada, and you want me to be cool? Like, no, they ain't. Sometimes you're allowed to be mad. If someone gives you a reason to be upset, be upset. It's allowed to be upset for it sometimes.
Someone might retort to some of that stuff that would be like, we weren't dating. You know, yeah, like most of, like, a lot of stuff she brought up, they weren't dating yet. So it's like, well, you can't get pissed off at me for something I was doing before we were together. It ain't none of your fucking business.
But not even the whole dating thing. It's like, I got you a job, and your first year on the job, you knocking down coworkers. It's like, yeah, we ain't dating. You still being a jerk. It's like, you messing up my job. You messing up how I look at my work. Because, like, whose friend is this? Oh, yeah. That's her friend. I don't know about her. It's like, you ain't been here a week.
And here's one thing, since you mentioned that. Well, one, we're forgetting the circumstances. She got him the job, and he was like, I don't want one. There's that part. But then also, does she still work at CATCo? Because they showed up there once. I thought she got hired back in.
Oh, it's funny. Well, I think she had got fired, and then she got, I guess she got rehired.
Because that is, like, totally off. I mean, they showed, it was that one episode where Lena got poisoned. That was the last time I think you saw CATCo, wasn't it? Was that episode?
Yeah, it's funny where they've kind of moved away from that, because it's kind of like they've decided we don't have time to do that right now. Like, we're focusing on other stuff. And it's like, I don't really even miss it, to be honest.
No,
like,
not at all.
Her reporter stuff was like, it was not groundbreaking or anything like that. It was just kind of like, I know she has to do it, but like, let's get to the fun stuff. So I don't miss CATCo, especially if Calista Flockhart's not there. The only thing not having CATCo there is like, James ain't doing over bringing food to his girlfriend that don't really like him that much.
It's you know, it's just clearly there's no need for him anyways. They're not even dressing him up as guardian anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of like he works when he interacts with people. But that's all how he works, is when he interacts. Like, you know, him and Wynn being actually like friends works. Mm-hmm. But it's just weird where, you know, him and Carr used to date. They friends, but it's like you even forget they used to be a thing. Him and like Lena's kind of like, That always just seemed weird. It's like, we just want to give something for him to do. Like, they're two pretty people put together. Mm-hmm. I never thought of them together. Like, if, to be honest, if I thought of anybody together, it was her and Supergirl. Or her, because it's like, yeah, they just have chemistry. And just like, it's funny where the women on that show just seem to get along. Like, all of them. Like, even Alex and Sam, even though she's the villain. Like, and they did a good job this season, like, kind of like building that up. Like, how we talk about Black Lightning, how they built up family. They build up women friendship. So now this stuff means more than, instead of like how Arrow, and to a certain extent, Flash. This, so it's like, we want it to be important, so we're saying it's important.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you got to put the work in.
What do you think of Flash, real quick?
I like parts of it. I like finally that Barry got his head out of his ass. Finally, it's kind of like, you know, embrace. Like, you're allowed to be human. Because even this whole, like, I don't got time to do this. I'm doing this stuff and everything like that. And it's funny where it took a stranger to kind of, like, knock him, you know, it's okay to be sad. Your friend died. You gotta hide. That'll make you less of a person. Just embrace that. And the whole time, and it's funny where he's shouting at, like, in the fight, like, come, it's almost like a Rocky movie. Like, yes, get it together. And that part was just laughing. Like, he getting on his pep talk in the middle of a fight when a nuclear bomb is about to go off. Like, snap out of it, we're all gonna die. You could do it. It's okay to be a man. Go ahead and cry. And I'm sitting, it's like, this is so damn goofy, but it fits the story and it works. And the Flash works best when it's goofy and earnest anyway, so it was fine. I didn't even realize that Laurel was going to be in the episode until she was in the episode, and then, like, her popping up and everything. Like, she was, it's funny where she was in, like, a lot of scenes, but she was barely in the scenes when she was in them. It's kind of like, I'm just here to, like, move the story around.
Yeah.
The whole stuff with DeVoe, I'm glad his wife is kind of realizing, like, you know, you were wondering how. It's funny, when the seasons first started, you thinking she was going to be like the main villain and he was going to have to stop her. But as the season going on, it's kind of like, yes, you not. DeVoe is a creep.
Well, we kind of saw this one coming anyways.
Yeah.
So
I think it kind of sunk in the first time you realize, you know, besides I'm switching these bodies, I'm making my wife kiss these strange men, and then these strange women, and then you're drugging her to keep her under control and all this stuff and everything like that. It's like, yeah, it went. He's just a slime ball. Even before it's this whole, you know, I expected the Flash to come save the day. Why did he freeze? And she's like, you know, last time we saw him, you killed one of his friends, and now you're showing up in his body, he's going to feel a certain way. Eh, films are stupid.
Yeah.
That's his response.
Then he, like, gives his usual villain dialogue at the end of getting rid of these, was it pedantic or whatever emotions, rudimentary emotions. She's like, man, I'm trying to get you in bed. Like, I love the fact she came down with, like, his favorite dress, looking hot as hell. And he's like, what are you doing? Like,
what's this?
And I'm like,
dude, time for that.
I'm like, dude, you understand her thought process, because you've got an elastic body, and yeah, this is hack shit, but you guys can probably try and get into some really freaky stuff now. Like, she's like, I don't care about this bomb. Like, let's go. I've been making out with strangers for 2 months.
You made me make out with some southern fried chicken idiot.
Yeah. Oh God, I do not miss her. No.
You don't think my plan's gonna work, Flash? I thought five steps ahead of you. Now I'm gonna conquer the world. Yeehaw!
God, what a, what a terrible decision that was. Like, I'm like, no. I mean, there's a reason. Name a southern superhero.
Gambit.
I guess.
That's it.
And we've never really heard him talk except in that Wolverine movie.
It's funny, I remember him from the, it's funny, just one, how much of a stereotype that was. Though, for the most time, the first time people heard Gambit talk was the cartoon back in the 90s, and it was him and Rogue, basically. They sound like every Southern fried, hey, girl on TV, my Sherry, Gambit gonna come with the X-Men. Like, and it just sounds so, it sounds like Jean-Claude Van Damme and Hard Target. It sounds ridiculous. Like, it's a shame, because all is an accent. I'm sure if you live in the South, people from New York sound like dumbasses. Like, oh, we gone, forget about it. And all that New York tough guy, not mumbo jumbo nonsense. Like, if you're not from there, you know, it sounds silly.
Yeah.
And we always equate like Southern accent, like, you know, because it's slow and it's a draw, so they equate it with being stupid. It's like some of the biggest comment I ever met from South, like, don't think because they talk slow that they're dumb. They just calculate.
Oh, yeah,
like, they talk like a lot of, you know, you can talk real fast and still sound like an idiot. Shout out to Vince Russo. So. And have a New York accent and sound like a dummy. So, but it is a good point. You don't hear about, I think it's just, you know, who's writing the comics or who's in control. Like, it's normally West Coast and Northeast. And they want people to have, like, that Northeast, I'm a tough guy, Batman archetype, or I'm a laid-back, chill guy from the West Coast. Like, the Southern guys are always like, you know, I'm this cow, picking cow, poke cowboy here to save the day, y'all. Like, I'm, my name, Superman. Like, I would just love to, now I just want to see a Southern Superman. Like, oh, I'm Superman, y'all. I'm here, say the day. Truth, justice, shoot. America, y'all.
Shoot. Well, all right, we'll wrap up on this. So, when we were driving, when we got in the cab back to the airport from the hotel in New Orleans, the first guy, he was like, I think it was Eastern Bloc. I mean, like, he had like a Savitch at the end of his name. Like, oh, okay, I know where mm-hmm. this is from. That's where my family's from. So he's just talking. He's like, okay, cool. The guy we had on the way to the airport, he was, and this is part of the reason I love my wife as much as I do. This guy had the biggest, like, New Orleans drawl, all right? He's like, nah, I'm going to know them. Those boys, they were out there wrestling that. And I'm like, uh-huh. He goes, you do yourself a bit of wrestling? I'm like, no, I just watch. And going on and on.
You look like a wrestler boy.
Pretty much. And she goes, oh, are you from New Orleans? Like, I'm doing a horrible Cajun accent, by the way. She goes, oh, so are you from New Orleans? And I just looked over at her like, where do you think that accent comes from? And so I looked at her, I go, no, he's from Maine. She's like, oh, I didn't know. He could have been. I was like, do your ears work? The guy's like, no, ma'am, I'm from here. Well, keeps going on and on. And it's just the sweetness involved that she's just being nice or trying to, like, have a conversation, this and whatnot. But it stunned me and probably the driver, like, is she making fun of me? Like, are we serious here?
He's from Maine.
He wouldn't talk. He wouldn't stop talking the entire time. All I'm trying to do is, like, you know, because whenever I have to go back home, I'm fine. But, like, I enjoy WrestleMania because get to see you, get to see Kevin, get to hang out for a while, have some fun, right? And it's just knowing, because, I mean, we're not going next year. So unless we all meet up for somewhere else, I mean, it can be another year before we, like, actually physically, or longer than another year before we're actually physically in the same place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, like, just reminiscing about the weekend. Like, yeah, this was good, Phil. And also looking around. And this guy, a very nice gentleman, by the way, would not stop talking the whole time, talking about wrestling, saying things I know aren't real. He started talking about Total Divas and how all of that is real. And I'm going, uh-huh, just blown off, and she's over there, yeah, and it just makes him talk even more. I'm like, God damn it, I just want to look around. Because I don't know the next time we're coming back to New Orleans. Can we please, it's just some quiet in here. So I'm pretty much done. Like, in Charlotte, we don't get a whole lot of Southern accents, so it's pretty nice. So when I go back to, like, Greenville, and there are a lot of them, yeah, I just get that whole, ugh, we got to go.
Now,
like, that's enough out of these guys.
And now all I want is a Southern Batman. Like, yeah, when I was young, I had a run-in with bats. They had a problem with me. It kind of scarred my psyche. But I decided, you know, when you get lemons, my daddy, before he got shot down, said, make lemonade, Bruce. So that's why now my name Batman, y'all.
Depending on how deep, like, South.
I dress like a bat, and I try to take care of crime. You know, this whole thing with this lynching thing is just a problem here in Gotham City, North Carolina, so we got to do something about it. Like,
oh my give God.
Me, yeah, DC,
that'd
you want to do
something? Great. Gotham City, South Carolina. Oh,
like,
boy.
DC, you want to do something different? Yeah, make a country-ass bumpkin Batman. Like, you know, he, like the Wayne family, they used to have plantations. They found oil to clean up, you know, the Carolinas. and their parents got gunned, you know, shot down by people that, you know, because the Waynes, they tried to be liberal. They wanted to say people could use whatever bathroom they want. That ain't how we do things down here in God's country in the South. So, well, yeah.
Yes, just, they were already part of the Southern Railroad, too, or Underground Railroad, so.
Yeah. You can have Robbie descended of, like, former slaves, and you can just go ahead and run with it. There you go.
On that note, we're getting out of here. thanks for listening, everyone. Stunt Granny, all social medias, podcast, list, find We Watch Stuff or Stunt Granny would be fine. Yeah, I think that about does it. We are seeing Avengers tomorrow, so you know what we're talking about next week. Thursday we are seeing the Avengers, I'm sorry. And you'll know what we talk about next week for the most part. So take care, let Sheed take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Duhati. Yee-haw, we are out.